We pray. Gracious Lord, we thank and praise you for your revealed word, where you have captured historical moments from the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that all of these moments have something to say to us. If we would only slow down and we would listen, contemplate, and consider these stories in light of your love and compassion for all humanity. And Lord, you have also given us the gift of your Spirit, that he might illuminate these stories, that he might reveal these facts to our hearts and minds, and that we might be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little context before we get into our gospel lesson this morning. From the previous chapter of Mark's gospel and some from this chapter today, Jesus has healed Jairus' daughter. He has resurrected her from death to life. There was a faith-filled woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and believed so much in Jesus that she thought, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, then I will be made well. And in the midst of the crowd, she gets through, and with her hand, she touches the hem of his garment, and she knows immediately that the bleeding and affliction she's had for 12 years is gone. Jesus has fed over 5,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he has multiplied them to satisfy and feed every single person that gathered there for his teaching. Jesus, in the first part of today's gospel, has walked on water. Walked on the Sea of Galilee. And we would say Jesus is revealing his majesty, which he was. But then when his disciples scream like small school children, his revelation of majesty turns to one of mercy on his frightened disciples. And he ceases the storm, he gets in the boat, and peace and calm return. And so most of the time when you hear today's gospel reading, the focus is always on Jesus walking on water. And I felt that the last part of this gospel message is always neglected because that's the bigger story, or so it seems. So let's read what will be the focus for us today, which is verse 53 through 56, after the moment of walking on water. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran about the whole neighborhood and began to bring sick people on their pallets to any place where they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. So here's the section that caught my attention. And as many as touched the tassel of his garment were made well. So what's behind these tassels? What's the connection of these tassels to the person of Jesus? Would Jesus be unique in having tassels like this? And this is some of what I wrestled with, because I thought we have it mentioned with the woman who reached to touch them. And then here it is in Mark's gospel mentioned again. And since we know he's writing his gospel on account of Peter, Peter is an eyewitness, and he's telling him this very specific thing. As many as touched the hem or cords of his garment were made well. So, what is it? Well, how many of you use sticky notes? Right? If you use sticky notes, most likely it's because you have a memory like mine, right? And you want to remind yourself of things. And so you put the sticky note, if it's something you want to remember as you go into the refrigerator, you put it on the refrigerator, right? You'll walk into people's offices and see them all over the edges of their computer screen, right? And these are all ways that they try to remember what they need to remember for this day. Some people write task lists, right? And they write that down so they know these are the things I can't forget to get done today, right? I remember when my daughter was born, we only have one child, but when she was born and it was time for all of us to go back to work, paternity leave and maternity leave had ended, and I was going to be the one in charge of taking her to our school at our church. I remember getting into the car that first day to drive my daughter to the school, and there on the steering wheel was a sticky note from my wife. Don't forget your daughter's in the back seat. Shows you how much faith and trust she has in me. Well, it's very much that thing about us that God sees and implements when we think of these tassels and this cord. In Numbers 15, Jesus instructs all the sons of Israel to put four tassels, one on each corner of their robe, and then to wrap in that tassel a blue cord. And it was to serve very much like a post-it note. The purpose was that all the sons of Israel that wore this and all the women of Israel that saw this, and even the men would see it on other men's outfits, they would know without a doubt three things, and it's the purpose God asked for them to do this. They were to do three things. Remember God's commands, most likely the Ten Commandments, not the 613 complete laws. Most likely the Ten Commandments. Secondly, to do them. And third, a reminder to not follow your heart and what your eyes see as you so wantonly do, because more often than not, they deceive you and lead you in a direction God doesn't want you to go. The law of God, following the law of God, and reminding yourself not to follow yourself. That was the reminder. That's why there are these very tassels on Jesus' robe. So what's the connection between the cords that we've just spoke of that Jesus is wearing, the healing, and Jesus himself? That's what I wrestled with when I looked at this text. Because I know, right, that they're not magic. It's not like carry a rabbit's foot around and you'll be healed. There's more to it than that. This is not superstition. So what is it? And the only thing I could come to, and it can be debated, is simply this. Jesus is the only son of Israel to have perfectly walked in his father's commands. He's the only one who substitutes his heart and his eyes for the heart and the mission that the Father has given to him. So when he moves about, he's not moving about selfishly. He's moving about to fulfill the purpose for which the Father has sent him into the world. And the conclusion I came to is this, is through the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ, others will be blessed. Through the perfect obedience of Jesus, others will be blessed. And we saw it, didn't we? Everyone who touched the hem of his garment was made well. That's the good news. The bad news is this. Most of those who touched the hem of Jesus' garment and were made well didn't want anything else from Jesus. They wanted the full healing that he might give to them, but they didn't want the full message that he brought. They didn't want to embrace the purpose for which he came, which was to save sinners. How often is that the case? We want Jesus merely for the reasons that we want Jesus. And we miss the fullness of why he has come. It wasn't to simply heal people. He healed many and they were blessed, but he didn't heal everybody, and that wasn't even the main reason he came. The main reason he came, right, was to deliver salvation to sinners like you and me, to heal our wayward, broken souls, to bring us into fellowship and communion with himself, to fulfill the law which you and I were unable to ever completely fulfill. He does it on our behalf. And it makes him, when he goes to his cross, the Lamb without blemish, the one and only acceptable sacrifice to the Father to atone for the sins of sinners. And so we're left to wrestle and consider these chords, to consider this man Jesus, and to consider, does Jesus want anything for humanity other than simply healing affliction? Does Jesus want more for you and more for me than simply giving us salvation? And I would say the answer to both of those questions is a resounding yes. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to follow him. He wants you and I to remember we have been given new life, new desires, new thoughts. We're part of a new family. Now I know, I won't look directly at my good friend here who doesn't like The Chosen, but I'm going to share a scene from The Chosen. Some of you just think, oh, it's too ushy-gushy. Get over it. It's okay to be German and have feelings, okay? One of the people I love and how they've cast him is Matthew. He's on the spectrum, you might say, maybe a bit autistic, but he has this incredible dialogue with another disciple who is overly anxious, wakes up worried, uncertain about the day and what the day may hold. Matthew acknowledges also that he too wakes up each and every day as a hand-picked, chosen disciple of Jesus and the front end of Jesus' ministry. And he himself has worries. He has anxieties. He has fears. And what he says to this other disciple was pretty impactful to me. And I hope it is to you too. He says, you know, when I'm overwhelmed about all of these things, this is what I remember. I only have one thing to do today. And that is follow him. And as soon as I realize that, everything kind of just goes away. How many feel as if you're spinning too many plates at once? How many have been plagued by anxiety over all sorts of things? Let the cords, the tassels, the life, the work of Jesus remind you, you really have one thing today to do, is to follow him into whatever that next task is for you. Don't worry about the tasks coming after that. Just follow him into the next one. And when he's done with you in that one, then say, Lord, I'm following you to the next one. I don't have to know how each of these things turns out. All I have to know is you're there and I'm seeking to follow you. And Lord, may your Spirit help me remember. Now, whether you have to tie some tassels onto something you're wearing, I don't know. I don't know what would work for you in that respect. But know this, God very much realize the practical application of something as simple that your eyes would see each and every day to remind you, follow him. And don't follow your own heart and what your own eyes desire. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these little nuggets that you provide us in Scripture that we are maybe prone to move right past. Maybe our attention is only on the miraculous as you're walking on top of the water, which is incredible, which is a wonderful lesson for us. But Lord, you also show us how your perfect life and your perfect obedience has the potential to bless all humanity. And Lord, may it bless us specifically. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.